provides things from a different perspective. The one on the right, as you're looking at them, familiar trick drawing, if you like. I always, she says, when I look at it closely, see the attractive woman. Who sees the attractive woman? Okay, so maybe you're an optimist. Who sees the old woman with the hooked nose? Yeah. Actually, when I look at it at the back, I can see the old woman much more clearly. I quite like the other, the next one. Can you just go back one? Sorry. Your back one? Back one. Thank you. The one on the left there, saying, just because you're right doesn't mean I'm wrong. You just haven't seen life from my side. It's a 9 or a 6 if you can't see it right clearly. Something there to think about. And then I do like this next one as well. Different perspectives. One person on land, on a desert island, seeing a boat coming, shouting help. The other one, boat, and the one who's in the boat, glad to see land. There's an addition to that on some of them where there's a shark, and he's saying food. Not always easy to see things from somebody else's perspective, from a different perspective, especially if you've held a view for a long time. Sometimes you might need to see a bigger picture. Wouldn't recommend flying, obviously, in that sense, but just stepping back sometimes helps us to get a different view on things and to see perhaps a bigger picture, and spiritually sometimes a bigger picture of what God might be doing. Might not mean that you do or even should change your view, but some of this might give you more understanding of someone else, more understanding of the world perhaps. And something of that happens in the story that we've had read to us from Scripture this morning. In fact, as I look back over Advent and Christmas, we could say that of all the characters involved in the Nativity story. But perhaps none more so deliberately as the Magi did, deliberately changing their view, having a different perspective. We can tend to skip over some of their story. It's one of the shortest of all the characters involved with the Nativity story in terms of verses. And most of the verses concentrate on their meeting with the evil King Herod and then with the baby Jesus. Their journey to get to Bethlehem, to that point of change in the stable, is covered in about 10 verses. We don't actually know exactly where these Magi came from. It could have been Babylon, which is about 600 miles from Bethlehem. They might have come from further away, from Persia, which is modern-day Iran. And that's more than double, probably about over 1,500 miles, something like that. Either way, and particularly at that time, 2,000 years ago, it would have taken a while. It would have been a long journey for them in order to get to see the baby Jesus. I love singing carols. I'll confess it's one time when I lay aside my concerns about Victorian sentimentality in some carols, or Victorian other stuff being expressed in hymns rather than carols. And I just enjoy the whole symbolism, the truth of often the words that there are, but also seeing the symbolism in some of the words. It may not have been midwinter, with frost and snow on the ground. But, you know, life was pretty bleak for shepherds. It's still pretty bleak for shepherds. It's not something that Morgan will probably know more about than most of us in her job as a vet. But it's not an easy job, is it, being a farmer, or particularly being a shepherd, looking after hundreds of sheep up in the hills of Scotland somewhere. And the journey that the Magi undertook was hard and difficult. If you know the poem by T.S. Eliot, The Journey of the Magi, that captures that sense of struggle and hardship, I think, really well. So there were not three stately, well-dressed men. It was a camel train. Dozens and dozens of people and animals carrying provisions and tents. We Pete and I watched Michael Palin. He's been doing a recap of some of his journeys, and the one through the Sahara, and actually going on a camel train. And I don't know if any of you have ever been on a camel. Anybody ridden a camel? Or tried to ride a camel? Yeah, I've tried to ride. It's not comfortable, is it? It's not easy. But to do that for months on end, as the Magi did, and it would have been noisy, lots of people. It would have been argumentative, I would imagine, at the time, and very uncomfortable months of travel. But they kept going. So they must have understood and valued the prophecies that they'd looked at and read about in their research to have gone on such a long, strenuous journey. Why? Because their expectations, their purpose, their motivation overcame all those difficulties and any suffering. The reward, if you like, of seeing the prophesied King of the Jews, of achieving their aim, kept them going. So, some questions for all of us. Where are you today on your journey of discovering more, or perhaps for the first time, about the King of the Jews? Some theologians, which I hadn't realised before, but they think that the Magi did actually have a Jewish background. They were part of people who'd been scattered previously, or left behind in Babylon. So they had some understanding of the prophecies that they'd been looking at concerning the Messiah, as well as their expertise and interest in studying the stars. And God uses that interest and understanding to meet with them in a new way. He used a star to guide them. You know, and it made me think that wherever we are on our journey with God, God can meet us. Each of us are unique, and God can meet us, get to know us, and we get to know him in very different ways sometimes. No two journeys for Christians are the same. It's just the means of starting that journey at whatever point is the same. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And meaning, certainly for us now, through not just visiting a baby king, but understanding and accepting that that baby king grew up to be an adult king who died on a cross as a sacrifice once and for all, so that we can be forgiven for wrong in our lives and receive grace to live as God wants and knows is best. A change of direction. Whether that's dramatically, like it was for the Magi in some ways, or for the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, or gradually, over a period of time, like it probably is for many of us. Once that meeting has taken place, how does the journey continue? The Magi returned home. We don't know any more about them. But I would imagine that the journey was just as physically and emotionally demanding as the journey there had been, but perhaps easier in some ways, because now they had a joy and a new purpose to their lives. Secondly, what's your journey of life like at the moment? Those of us who've started, and whatever point or however long we've been on that journey with Jesus. Are we struggling in these times, perhaps, to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus? As Hebrews 12 says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and the shame. Hopefully, like him, we can rediscover joy in our lives, despite difficulties that might not go away. We need to expect God to meet us. We might need to look at things differently, take a step back, see a bigger picture of what God is doing in our lives. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in the second letter that suffering for him for the moment was nothing compared to the eternal life and glory waiting for him in heaven in the future. And that applies as a promise for each one of us as well. So are we prepared to change whether that's perspective or direction. Magi ended up doing both. You know, when they knelt to worship the baby and present their gifts, they realized that they couldn't go back to Herod. In worship, their eyes were opened to see Herod's lies and falsehood. And so, in that, their own lies were changed. They went back home, not just a different way, but different people. Is that our expectation? Every time we bow to worship Jesus, every time we gather like this to worship. Hebrews again, it's my favourite book of the New Testament. Says in Hebrews 10, do not stop meeting together, as some have done. But the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging them to carry on meeting together, regardless of the difficulties surrounding them. You know, I know that some of you love church online. And, you know, there are lots of positives in terms of reaching out to people who would not or cannot, particularly at this time, enter a church building. But particularly thinking of those who wouldn't think about entering a church building, but are engaging with church online, which is great. Some of you may lead on from that it's church for our time, even when we're allowed to gather freely and not socially distance. You might decide to continue to watch live or recorded services, streamed services, from the comfort of your own home. But I've said it before recently, and I'm saying it again, and I'll probably say it again. There's something special about meeting together physically, gathering as God's people to worship. And for me, certainly, it's worth the effort of time. Argumentative children, I don't have them anymore, but I recognise that that's difficult for some people. Uncomfortable seating, being strangers perhaps, it's worth it all in order to meet with God and kneel in worship, symbolically, giving our all to him. You know, I love that symbolism of kneeling. When I first started going to church, I didn't just do it, it wasn't just symbolism, it was actually something that I did physically. But either way, it's about laying aside our own selves, which then means that God can work in our lives by his Holy Spirit to then use us for his purposes. I hadn't really, if I'm honest, till I started thinking about this, considered before the Magi after they left the stable, other than they returned home a different way to avoid Herod. And it would have been a changed journey, as I've said. Change people, because perhaps a bit like the shepherds, filled with an overflowing joy, and therefore telling everyone on the return journey that they met about what had happened, the prophecies being fulfilled, that they'd seen the newborn king as a baby. We know a lot more of that story now. We have good news, the gospel to tell. Grace and forgiveness for all people. Does our meeting with Jesus have that effect on each of us? Does it prepare us and strengthen us to tell others about Jesus? God met the Magi in their own medium, guiding them by a star. Are we prepared to meet those we know who don't yet know Jesus on their terms? To listen and understand their point of view, their perspective, so that we can then introduce Jesus to them in a way that they can understand? Are we prepared to do as Paul writes to the church at Philippi that we read at the start of our worship, to have the mind of Christ, bringing light and hope to a world in need? I'd like us to just spend some time reflecting on that, on everything that's happened so far in our time together. And we're going to listen to a song which is new to me. It's by sung by Lauren Daigle. I think that's how you say her name. It's called Light of the World. It's got some interesting words, or at least I found the words interesting as I was listening to them. It could take me off in different directions I just want you to listen. I think the words should appear on the screen. Hopefully you'll be able to see them. And just be asking God to speak to you as to what direction he wants you to be thinking about. It might be about carrying on in the same way, but with a different perspective, a different attitude, a different sense of God's presence. Whatever it is, let's spend this time being open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say and to do and to move with us in our lives as we seek to journey with him.